And what we really begin to realize is that praying without ceasing is that it doesn't become something that escapes your life, but needs to be consistent. Just like we talk about reading our Bibles daily, it needs to be consistent with our studying God's Word on a daily basis and meditating upon it, but prayer goes with that. But what happens a lot of times in our prayer? Have you ever gotten to the point where you're so drained? I don't know what drains you. It may be family, but think for a moment, it's church work. It's our work as brethren one of another. He said, this is the local church functioning over here, and we read about it functioning. Look what you have a responsibility to do. You have people out there that are disorderly. Elders are going to admonish them. You're to do that also. You're to be involved in being encouraging to the faint-hearted. You're to be a support to the weak. You're to be thankful always. You're to be rejoicing always. That takes effort, doesn't it? That's tough. And when you're doing that, and you're doing that, and I have to be long-suffering to everybody, somebody needs admonishing, somebody needs encouragement, somebody needs some strength, but I tell you what everybody needs, it's long-suffering. We all need it. Suffering long. And you're the one that has to suffer long. And you just completely get drained. And you may get so drained you don't even know what to pray for. You surely not pray, well, I pray for my food. I'm thankful for that. But be thankful in all things. There's a lot of things happening and you just drain dry of your energy, of your spirituality. And we're going to pray without ceasing. You may go, have you ever gone a few days without praying other than giving thanks to the table? And you can get in those down places. And I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, and not just the preacher, elders, or deacons, but members. We're all involved together. We can expend so much energy, so much time, that we're just empty. And as one lady told me recently, Brother Fott, I don't even know what to pray for. So she doesn't. She's not going to pray. She's that depleted. Since we stayed on the Word of God, I want us to connect the two things together. Because if you want replenishing, here you go. You're taking that book off the shelf, and you're coming down and reading that, and all of a sudden, it will hit your spirits and your mind, and they work together. The Word and praying go together. We need to be meditating upon it every day, and constantly, and we need to be praying without ceasing, and doing that every day. And we begin to realize that that's important with our work. Psalm 1, again. Psalm 1, we say, well, I'm going to meditate upon the Lord day and night. And you know what's going to happen then? I'll be like a tree planted by the water. Am I getting some sustenance? Am I replenishing that? I'm planted by the streams of the water. I'll bring forth the leaves, and they will not wither, and I will produce fruit. Instead of sitting around with the scorners, I meditate upon the Word of God, and this is what I'll be like. What is he saying? The Word of God replenishes your spirits. So we want to be reading and studying daily. And when God talks to us through his Word, all of a sudden you have some things to pray about. You have some energy to be involved in responding. I want to talk to you, God, about this. And you begin to know what to pray. The Word is your delight. And you might say, God, I realize I need to be a support, and the Word of God encourages me. What about this brother that needs to, sister needs to admonish you? I don't know about doing that. You can pray about that. All of a sudden, you begin to have some things to pray about. And what we do, we're replenishing our spirits. Look at Psalm 119. It's a beautiful, long chapter. But it's all dealing with glorifying the Word of God. Exalting God, but glorifying His Word. And I just want to look at a passage or two. Verse 18 says, "Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Is that a prayer? Oh, it's in the Bible. It's writing scripture. I'm reading scripture. What is the psalmist doing? I'm praying to God, "God, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." He's already knowing something to pray for. We do too. When we're reading the word, wondrous things out of thy word. And I've got children, and they want the latest Xbox thing, you know, that'd be dated thing, but they want the next game, and you say, no. And but they have want the latest game. You'll see people play with their games, and they're into that. I was talking to a little 5-year-old boy. I was ladies were having a class, and I'm babysitting, okay? And I wanted to show him we like to read a story, you know, storybook, Bible. I'm sitting out there guarding, so I'm not having to study. So I'm guarding, so I might as well babysit. Keeping people out and let the women have their study. But what happened? This boy, and he's not a member, they're just visiting, but he came out there, and she brought him out there. She trusted me to look after him. And so I said, "You have to read a storybook." "No, I don't like reading. I like to play games." And he knew insides and out, and I don't know what the exact game, but it's the plant life having war against enemies. And you may know the game. It's a popular game. He knew every character. He knew what made them powerful. He knew what made them weak. He rattled them off all the time. And I thought to myself, here's a young boy. He said, "Well, mother is she works hard, and she's trying to homeschool him, and it's very difficult. He has some issues, but point is that she just says, "Well, go play a game," and he does a lot of that. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing games. I said, how can I combat that if I'm the mother? What can I say to encourage her? And this is what I would suggest, and says it to you. We have wondrous things that will attract the minds of young boys in the Bible that has a scene, David and Goliath, for example. And you say, you can attract his attention. Here's look what the Goliath had as his equipment. Look what David had as his equipment. And begin to teach the story and combat what the world has on the minds of kids and combat that with the Word of God. There's wondrous things. Wonder. That boy killed that big giant. How big was he? 9'6". And he did that with a stone. Excitement. Wondrous things. How can we fill their hearts with that? While they're getting filled with other things. And we have to work at it. But what happens is that all of a sudden, I'm talking to God and I'm praying to Him to open my eyes to the wondrous things. And that's just part of opening our eyes to realize things that we can do. The Bible is full of things we can apply to our kids to attract them to be godly. But that's a form of a prayer. So prayer's happening, and wondrous works out of God's Word is going to be supplementing that as well. And they work back and forth with one another. Turn into another passage, Psalm 119 and verse 36. When he prays again, and this is a prayer unto to God, that I want you to incline my heart. So let's lean my heart, send it to the direction of where I need to go. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I want to go a different direction, God. And when you're beginning to be drained because of things, and now the world looks more attractive to you than being spiritually minded in Christ, here's something that you'll get from God's Word. I don't want to go the covetous route, but God, I need you to incline my heart unto that Word. I want to be stronger in that Word. And when we do that, reading the Word of God will be something that we'll do, and we've studied that in our first lesson. Before we read Psalm 119, look at 164. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Why? Because of thy righteous ordinances. So you're reading your Bible, you're seeing the righteous ordinances. What does that lead you to do? It leads you to want to praise Him at a complete time, seven times a day. That seems like something that's not ceasing. That seems something that's going to continue on. And what the Word does, when we study that Word, all of a sudden I see things I need to pray for. Maybe my eyes aren't open the way it should be. Open my eyes, God. Maybe my heart's not inclined the way it's going to be. I'm a little weak. I'm drained. I'm spiritually spent. And I'm going to open my book, and all of a sudden I'm going to be bread. And I have something to pray for. Daniel's a wonderful example of delighting in God and the discipline of prayer. You know the story in Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 10. The only way to get Daniel to be contrary to the government was to lay down a law of government that conflicted the law of his God. That's how righteous he was and dedicated. So they all got together, and this is how we'll get Daniel. Edict from the king. He's going to have it signed, and he can't change it. For the next 30 days, anybody that is asking of a god or of any man other than thee, O king, he'll be going to the den of lions. We know about the story. Daniel the lion's den. That's where he was sent. After he knew it was written in verse 10, and after he knew that I went to pray to God, he did as he did before. He prayed three times a day, and when he knew it was written, he went into his chamber, and he did not shut the curtains. The doors were wide open unto Jerusalem. He bowed his knees, and he gave thanks to God. Prayed to God, giving thanks. Oh, be thankful in all things. Daniel, you're getting ready to go to the lion's den. You know that. That's the kind of godly person I want to be. And I know you want to be that. And he was not afraid of what men's going to do. Whatever happens is going to happen. And he's still going to be dedicated unto God. But there was the discipline. He's praying three times a day. Prayer is not ceasing with him. And what happens is that wonderful law, it says, we see that and we delight in that, we'll start praying again. And it's not always even. I'm just all on top line, and I'm always strong in prayer. We have our valleys. And when we have those times, we need to be working. Maybe I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not getting fresh thoughts out of the Word, not from man. Fresh thoughts out of the Word. And all of a sudden, I have something to talk to God about. Prayer starts. And that's the point I want us to be able to see. We're spiritually replenished because, see, we got to rejoice always. And when we study God's Word, even in times of difficulty, we can see how we can do that. Because our rejoicing is not in circumstances. It's in God. And He'll get us through all those things. And we can give thanks to all things. We can put into practice what He wants us to do. Secondly, we need to be praying without ceasing because we got to keep the thorns out of our spiritual garden. We'll kind of look at that, and look at the 8th chapter in verse 14, where Luke records Jesus' great lesson on the sower, and he's interpreting that sower, sowing seed, and the type of ground. It's describing the type of ground that the Word of God can come to. Hard ground is not going to bear fruit. We understand that. But this is what happens when it goes along the thorns. These are they that have heard, and they that go on their way. So I've heard the gospel, received that. I'm a Christian now. I'm going on my way. But what happens, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So as we go on our way, we have the Word. We're reading that Word. We're studying that Word. We have to be careful So not allow the thorns. What are they? Well, it may not be sinful things, but they may be difficult things. They're called cares. We've already saw, don't let anxiety divide you. You realize that God will give you all the things that you need. Have the faith. Your problem is a lack of faith. So we read that. It's relative to my life, and here I am. I got a bunch of cares, and they may not be sinful. I don't want to let them to become sinful. And what they do, they can choke out Bible reading. They can choke out prayers. I have so much difficulties. I don't know where to turn, and God hasn't been good to me lately. Whatever your mind goes, the devil likes to send it. No, you're going to be strong against that. And you're going to keep that weed out of it. Do y'all have to weed your gardens out here, up here? We do down south. And taking care of my parents' house and my parents in my house, you know, I thought I'm going to put a bunch of mulch on there. Well, I do. And my mother said, you know, there's some grass coming back up now. After about 2 weeks, I said, I thought I had to do that, what, twice a year? Nope. It's coming up. And it'd be good to go out and get it right now so I don't have to do a bunch of it later on. So do a little bit at a time. But those weeds seem to want to come back up. And I can't smother them enough. I'm not going to put poison on it because it'll kill her flowers and all that. So we work it out. But it's a constant battle. And the same thing with our spirituality. Devil already has the world. He wants you. And what he can do is discourage you and let the cares of this world, and God allows that to come upon us. He's testing us. And what we're going to do, I'm going to be connected with that word. I'm going to keep replenishing my soul and realize that's something I've got to let distract me. And I'm not going to let the pleasures of this life be a thorn that takes away my joy of the word, my being in the word, having a place to read and study and to pray. And when it happens, we could be strong in the Lord. So the cares and riches of this life, the pleasures of this life, are not going to attract us. We don't want to be that kind of ground. Keep replenishing with the word, and you keep praying. And then we say, well, what do I pray about? What am I going to be doing then? Turn to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verses 1 through 4. And we begin to read our Bibles, and we're listening, we're over here in our daily Bible reading, and we read this: I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men. For kings and all that are in a high place, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Those are not many verses to read. But all of a sudden, I don't know what to pray for. What kind of prayer should I be praying? You're so discouraged. You don't even want to think through the clouds. But all of a sudden, open my eyes to wondrous things of the law. All of a sudden, I see some things. And it's called supplications. And prayer is used here. The word prayer is used here. And that word is always used of what is praying to God. So I'm assuming we know we're praying to God. So there's supplication. That means I have needs. And you can start thinking, what needs do you have? And you might think of your spiritual needs. Help me to be more rejoicing in all things. Help me to be strong and help and be an encouragement to the faint-hearted. That's what we're doing in the church functioning this morning. But supplications are needs. All of a sudden, I've got some things I need and my brother needs. That's called intercessions. That's what we're doing, intercessions for somebody. I'm praying on behalf of somebody else. Do you have anybody else that needs prayers? It's so wonderful to hear prayers by young people and others that are praying for the well-being, the health of loved ones. That's called intercessions. You prayed for my father. Thank you. But that's a form of a prayer. Now, we want to just pray and talking to God. Thanksgivings. To be thankful in all things. They used to be not ceasing. Because we're in all things that happen every day, we need to be full of thanksgivings. and be thankful to God for what he's provided for us. For rulers, we don't have kings yet. We have rulers making laws, leading our nation. We can pray for them. They need our prayers, don't they? And the thing is that under Caesar and all that, that would be tough on the Christians. And we want to be able to live tranquil and quiet lives of godliness. Not that we're seeking an easy route, but we want it to be quiet so we can express unto you, God, praise you 7 times a day, that we can be involved in practicing what you would have us to do without the interference of the government. And we see what that does to churches in worship with COVID, don't we? That could be a burden. Pray that we will have that freedom to worship. The Jews, Jesus told them, you pray that your fleeing Jerusalem will not be on the Sabbath. That's what they could pray for at that time, because they had babies and having to travel and get away from Nebuchadnezzar and destruction of Jerusalem and those things that would take place in the first destruction of Jerusalem, but with Rome in the second one. And we could be thankful that you rule over men and help us do all these things. There'd be a lot of things to pray for. And the kings is one of them, or rulers that are over us. And for all men, pray for others. And we know this is good will, because he would have all men to be saved. Do you have somebody that's not a Christian yet and you want them to be a Christian? Your prayer will not go in the place of their obedience to the gospel. So people think that, therefore, you ought not pray for them. Don't believe that. Pray for all men, because he wants all men to be saved. I'm praying for kings so I can have a tranquil life. I'm praying for men so they can be saved. I can pray that prayer and pray earnestly. And you have something to pray for. They don't have to obey the gospel. I know, way God, for me to be able to teach you the gospel, teach her the gospel, but you have something to pray for, is my point. And you're praying for men. There's needs to be met, intercessions to go through, and thanksgivings. And we begin to realize that these things, all of a sudden, I know some things to pray for, and that becomes very, very important. And you told me that you didn't have anything to talk to God about? I want you to think about that in your life and realize, how can I pray without ceasing? And one of the things you have to do, your time is busy. Word of God goes with that. And the Word of God, you have to have, I think, this is my judgment, to have a private place where it's you and you can just read without interference. I know we're living in a time where it's real. I'm a multitasker. I can do everything at once. And I think some kids can. Noise going here, noise going there, and they do homework and they have no problem. And you're just no fogey. You can only concentrate on one thing. Oh, I understand. Difference in age. Difference in attention. But okay, God deserves a private time with you. And you need it. Where we can just concentrate upon him. And you say, well, I think I need to fast. Fasting is not required in the Bible. But every time you see fasting in the New Testament, Christians were doing that. What was that all about? Fasting. And it's a message that says, I, God, count you so important that I will go without food, whatever time that is. And we crave food. You might be craving it right now. We need food. There's nothing wrong about that. But the fasting part was what was the idea that, God, you are more important than food. 1 Corinthians 6, some translations. You're more important than sex. We'll abstain from that. Got to be agreeable. We'll abstain from that. And we're going to be involved with some of fasting, but in prayer. And it's a way, I'm going to study my Bible, and I'm going to do that at a certain time, and maybe you're fasting. I'm not going to eat breakfast. I'm going to go without breakfast, whatever it is. And God doesn't demand that. But Christians did that. I think it's good discipline. Sometimes fasting for a few hours is supposed to be good for your health. I don't know. But it's saying, God, you're more important than anything else. I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am a spiritual creature. I'm physical, but I can go without food this moment with you. And you read the Word of God and let the Word of God feed your spirit. And at the same time, you're practicing discipline. And that's the private thing between you and your God, and no other distractions. But that needs to be a private place. Jesus said, go in your closet. Not only study God's Word, but go in your closet and pray. God sees in secret. And to have that moment after you read God's Word, you can have prayer. What do I pray for? You'll probably find a lot of things in the text. If you're reading this, all of a sudden, oh, water on my knees. So I got those. What loved one do I have? I'm thinking spiritually now about them being saved. What about my responsibilities as a Christian? I've been depleted. I don't have the energy. Give me energy, God. Or supplications. And you know what? You can feel a lot of time. A lot of time will pass by. You ever wonder how Jesus could pray all night before he chose the apostles? He did. And you hear people say, I heard one preacher say that I prayed all the way back from, it was West Texas to Houston. Just constant prayer. That's okay. We sing a song, how long has it been since you prayed to God and the whole night through? So that's not me. That must be super Christian. And that's not what it means to pray without ceasing. We need to continue that. But just think about it for a moment. If you start praying, and what's helped me, just a suggestion, I think in concentric circles, I pray about me. It's a little bitty circle. What are my needs? I've read my Bible. What do I need today? And help me to be the Christian I need to be. It's all about me. And now I'll inject my enemies. I'll pray for my enemies. God says to. I pray that they'll be by. I pray that they will see that what they said about me is wrong. I want them to correct their ways. But pray for the enemies, because it's about you and about them. Then the circle gets a little bit bigger. I'll pray for my family. Me, my family. And I've got a lot of family members need my intercessory prayer. They have needs. I've always been praying about needs. I'm praying for their needs. I'm praying for family. And then I'm in an area. And I'm praying for them. Bigger circle, I'm praying for members of the church. And I've got a bigger circle now because I got you. Not just a local church. And I start praying for them. And I feel that circle. And when you realize I pray for the church, I pray for fellow man and my government, the broader things that there. And you know what? You might be there 30 minutes. You might be there for an hour. And it won't be, well, I prayed this long. You will have prayed and you will have done what God wants you to do, and you didn't run out of things to pray in 30 seconds. And prayer is a powerful thing. The days when I have prayed for open doors, it comes in strange ways. I prayed for open doors, and the guy that there's a place across the field where our church building is, and I watch him out of my office. He's driving a truck. He's a black man. He drives a truck, and I watched him, and he delivered those edible fruit. You know, they have a bit of doing that. He would drive it there. One day, I just decided I'm going to meet him. And I said, I see you sometimes reading in your truck. And that scared him. Why am I looking at him for? But then I told him, I said, I've invited you to church sometime when you could come. Then I finally delivered it to my mother one day. And I drove up. And I said, I know you. And he scared him again. But I told him I'd met him before. But he was on drugs. He'd been clean for a long time. And what happened, if he studied with me, he could work off his probation, government. And when he did that, it opened to the gospel. He obeyed the gospel. He moved somewhere to Idaho. I don't know where. I've lost touch with him. But there was a soul I came in contact with him, and I think it's an answer to prayer. And like things like that, I'm sure they've happened to you, and we've got to keep praying for those opportunities. We want men's all to be saved. But I'm saying, if you think in terms of circle, you won't forget, you'll have a category, and you'll surprise how long you could spend on your knees praying unto God. And you will pray without ceasing, because things will continue to be added, things continue to be needed, and you're replenishing when you get drained, and you drain, because 1 Thessalonians 5 will drain you as a church, and with all the personal things we have. Replenish yourself with God's word, pray to God, pray without ceasing, and I tell you what, that's not a wasted life, that's a blessed life, and it'll keep you strong and courageous as we started this morning. Don't know the hearts of you, can't read your hearts, and don't know your situation with your relationship with God. But if you're outside of Christ, never obey the gospel. I encourage you to come to Jesus through His Word. We study His Word and understand that through Christ, in death and resurrection, the basis for our salvation. This Word tells us that if we repent of our sins and we're baptized, the Lord adds us to the church, the body of His saved. And we want to encourage you to save your soul. Think about that first. And then you live the life of a Christian. And what we've seen this morning, this ways that we can be strong in the Lord. And I hope you'll continue to do that. If we can help you in any way to get right with God, come as we stand and sing.